Hello and welcome to the Mind of Magnus. Our show has a simple premise. We're here to share the stories and life adventures of others to help expand our minds. I'm Matt Austin, and here's your host, Magnus.
Hello, hello, folks. Welcome again to another edition of the Mind of Magnus. So today is a bit of a special episode only because Rochester, New York is going to be home of the solar eclipse. The totality is happening across my city, across my studio right here. I have been prepping for it. I've been making artwork. Thanks for those who bought all my t-shirts and designs. It was fun. I am going to be doing a bunch more stuff today. I actually have been floating around. Today is actually eclipse weekend. And this town is really hopping today. It's really nice. It's a lot of new faces. I see some out-of-state plates driving around. And a lot of people are like looking up and looking around and really enjoying the waterfalls. It is a really nice weekend to be in Rochester. The sun is out, blue skies. Hopefully it continues for the event. I'd love to have that actually happen. But it is a gorgeous weekend out here. I was going to do some recording out in the real world, but it is such a hopping town with a lot of smiling faces that it was just too noisy. So instead of doing that, I decided to come back into the studio and put together a fun little collection of things for the solar eclipse. We have our factoid edition, and this came in from a bunch of awesome people. My God, I will tag you all here and let you know who sent these in. Some folks sent in some similar ones in here, but so this episode is going to be my eclipse factoids for everyone. So this will be out on the eclipse day, so enjoy it and hope you guys have a wonderful time listening to the show. It's going to be a bunch of series of audio files and collections things. So without further ado, here is some cool factoids. And actually, a bunch of factoids came in from Julie. Julie is an amazing woman. She's very talented. If it wasn't for her, we could not have made wall therapy as amazing as it is. She's one of the reasons why art is so awesome in the city. And I should have her on the show at some point in time. But Julie sends in some letters into the Mind of Magnus show. I just want to let you know that there's going to be a solar eclipse. I don't want to surprise you like it did Louis of Bavaria, who wasn't expecting the solar eclipse on May 5th, 840, when he looked up and saw the sun disappear from the sky. He was so shocked that he keeled over and died on the spot. An eclipse can be a really rattling thing for some individuals, and also in the larger scope of history. When Louis of Bavaria died, he was the head of a great and sprawling empire. He was, after all, the son of Charlemagne. And in the aftermath of his untimely eclipse-fueled demise, his three sons then began to argue over his legacy. The quarrel ended with the Treaty of Verdun, which divided Europe into three large areas, which would become France, Germany, and Italy. Wow. That's hysterical. I had no idea that the breakup between France, Germany, and Italy, what from Charlemagne's whole thing else, was because of eclipse that killed a man by surprise by it. So thank you, Julie. My gosh, that was the great factoid to start on. So actually, I want to take a quick break. I've been trying to put some ads in the middle of the shows and not have such a jarring sound, but I want to give a special shout out to, I have a new advertiser on this show and that I just really, really want to say thank you to. I am a person that I am constantly moving, constantly doing stuff. I stay up super late in my studio. I don't leave here till 2 o'clock in the morning. So I am burning the candle literally on both ends. So what keeps me going a lot, and I never thought I'd be this person, but it's coffee and good coffee. So I have a sponsor that's just jumped in the show. They are a big supporter of the whole Lunchador network, but Joe Bean Coffee. They are a wonderful spot. I've had friends who have, I bring them there when I want to bring them to really, really nice coffee here in Rochester. They have been part of events I've been part of as well, from the like TEDx talks to so many other things. So they're not just a great coffee, but they're also a wonderful component of the city. So there's going to be an ad form here coming up shortly, but I wanted to actually start my ad by a sincere thank you from the Mind of Magnus show.
Hey everyone, this is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
And we now return to the Mind of Magnus, already in progress. The battle for the eclipse. This is a factoid that came in from Trisha, so thank you for this. She found it on History Unleashed. And the battle for the eclipse fought on 585 BC between the Medes, M-E-D-E-S, and the Lydians, came to an abrupt end due to a total solar eclipse. This unexpected celestial event was interpreted as an omen, prompting both sides to negotiate peace after 5 years of conflict. 5 years it took an eclipse to do this. So the historical battle is notable for being one of the first and earliest recorded instances where an astronomical event directly influenced the outcome of a military engagement. Wow, Trisha, thank you for this. Did not know this fact either. I am so glad that this factoid hotline has been so great for expanding my brain. And I didn't realize the history of the eclipse and humanity is something that I'm really excited to be sharing tonight. So here's another factoid that came in. I actually got it a couple different times from a few folks. So Julie sent one in. We also had one from Jerry, as well as John sent one in. So thank you, John. This one actually is the eclipse factoid that a lot of people know. I knew myself thanks to a weird American history that I had. The Columbus voyage in 1504, how the eclipse made a big effect on at least the Jamaicans in this scenario. So I think everyone knows that the story in about 1504, Columbus is going across. He's like his fourth and final voyage. He's in the bopping on the New World, and his ships are wrecked on the north shore of Jamaica. They are trying to find food and shelter. As months pass, their appetites keep getting worse and worse, and it is just too much for the Jamaican hospitality. And eventually, the crew mutinies and attacks the Jamaicans after days of without food. The Jamaicans clearly rose up, which to defend themselves, which I think they should have. And during the unrest, Columbus gets out his almanac and sees that in 3 days' time, on February 29th, 1504, there'd be a total lunar eclipse. And at those moments, the moon takes on a reddish color, which is the sunlight filters through the Earth's atmosphere, all a bunch of crazy stuff. Astrologers will call that the blood moon, if you want to get technical on it. But Columbus assembled the Jamaican chieftains and told them that God was angry with them and that they weren't feeding the people. And he warned them that God would inflame the moon with his wrath so that he would know his displeasure. And sure enough, since we know how the planets work in this point in time, the moon finally rose. Jamaicans looked down in horror as the moon turned to this dark, coppery blood color. And the chieftains pleaded with Columbus to make it stop, to which Columbus replied that he'd need to retire to his cabin to pray for the behalf of this whole process. So, of course, Columbus goes back to the cabin and watches Hourglass. The whole, almanac said lunar eclipse would last 48 minutes, and he did. So 48 minutes later, Columbus stepped outside and proclaimed that God had answered his prayers and he forgave the Jamaicans provided to it. So that's a factoid I do know about. As I've been told over the years of how clever the Europeans are against the New World folks. So there's a little bit of, you can see why that's taught in the public school system that I went to. So I want to thank Julie and John and them for sending those things in. Julie actually sent in a little bit more of the facts on this one, that almost 400 years later, Mark Twain repurposed this exact plot, the story of a time traveler who visits the medieval knights of King Arthur's court and scares them into thinking he controlled the eclipse. The theme was also interpreted in The Adventures of Tintin, or Tintin, if you're French, a comic book, Prisoners of the Sun, when Tintin similarly scares Incas into thinking that he can control the eclipse. So that plot actually was used in a whole bunch of different things over the years. What a crazy usage of information against those who are uninformed. This next factoid actually came in from the factoid hotline. It was texted in. There was no name associated with this one. So please, if this is your factoid, please let me know. I want to give you a shout out if I can. Hey, Magnus. Eclipses have been pretty much a scary thing for most of my life. I grew up in the 60s. I'm a little older than you, but my mom was one of those people that thought we were going to burn our eyes out. Either it was on the news or the magazines or something else. But it was definitely a very esteemed to be a dangerous thing. It's a way to blind yourself or at least burn your retinas irreparably, as he says here. Which is true, if you don't use eclipse glasses, which you can find at reputable places, please go and find the reputable ones. There were some on Amazon being sold that weren't good. So tear those babies up. Go to if your local RMSE, even Wegmans, some stores, but make sure you get official ones. So you can also look through a pinhole camera, pinhole device, poke some holes and stuff, a colander, look at it that way. But don't look directly in the sun. So his mom was true, but the story continues. But in the 60s, safety precautions were taken to extremes as myself and other children were urged to stay home and close all the windows and watch the eclipse on TV. Yes, so that's right. I had a chance to watch an eclipse at my early age of 12 years old, which would have been perfect for movies, he writes. But I was actually forced to watch the eclipse on TVs with the curtain closed. My mom kept watching us, making sure we weren't peeking. Oh my God. Imagine that, being sitting there, have a chance to encounter that, and you're at a sit home with the curtains. It's somehow gonna be worse with the, oh my gosh. Funny, funny, funny. Thank you for that, whoever you are, the anonymous person sending that note in. I do want to end my solar eclipse factoid with a very special one close to my heart here, Rochester, New York. We're having totality, like I mentioned. I've been looking forward to it. I've been on a bunch of different projects getting ready for this whole thing. But one of my favorite factoids, I found out recently that part of my factoid was wrong up until a little bit ago. But 99 years ago, January 25th, 1925, Rochester also had a total solar eclipse. Nearly 2,000 people gathered on the Ponce de Lorenz Bridge here in downtown Rochester. It's the bridge looking right over the falls. So all those folks crowded together to see the first ever total solar eclipse in Rochester's recorded history. The fun was going really great until it ended abruptly when a crack suddenly formed underfoot. So everyone assuming that the whole bridge was coming down, they all ran to safety, screaming and yelling away here enough that the Rochester Herald, the paper at the time, even ran a headline the next day saying eclipse gazers flee from bridge fall scare, and had photos, and I'll share them on my socials, or you can do a quick social online thanks to the stone collection here at the RMSE. But the engineers inspected the bridge, figured out that what happened was that since the eclipse took place in January, a rather heavy layer of ice had been packed down on the pedestrian bridge. And when that many people stood on the bridge, the structure did what it normally does and shifted and bowed a bit, but the ice did not. So when an inch-thick crack suddenly burst below them, it definitely seemed that those standing there, the bridge was going to start collapsing on them. So you can understand, I would have been scared myself because that's not a very short bridge. That's looming many stories above. And the photo in the newspaper looks very ominous. My God, it is a full-on full crack. I actually thought the concrete had cracked. So definitely was interesting to learn that it was just the ice. It made me feel pretty good because I knew the bridge didn't collapse, but people were nervous that it was going to collapse. And as I tell everyone, if you ever hear me say a factoid that is not right, let me know, because I will go back and make sure my factoids are correct. I never want to have the wrong information out there in the real world. And that concludes our episode for the Eclipse Factoid. So thanks everyone who messaged in. If you guys want to message me, my Factoid hotline is 585-310-2473. Text, send me a voicemail, whatever you want to do. I do have some other voicemails I'm going to be putting together. So thanks to Tom. I think he sent another one in. And we have a few other ones as well. So please send some voicemails in. But I want to leave with the factoids, the true facts you need to know about the eclipse if you're going to be in Rochester, New York. So the total solar eclipse will happen Monday, April 8th, 2024. You guys should be listening to this probably Sunday, Monday. And when the moon will be completely block out the sun, causing darkness during the day. The eclipse timing starts at 2:07 p.m. and goes to 4:33 p.m. Totality, meaning total darkness. The timing is between 3:20 and 3:24 p.m. It'll be 3 minutes and 38 seconds. So take some pictures, have fun at the parties, be careful, do not look up in the sun, and do not take pictures with your camera at the sun if you're not using those very specific the glasses or solar film that you've actually bought that's rated for optics. Really high-end cameras, you can actually burn the sensors out looking at the sun that way. So be very careful. Be careful with your eyes. You don't get a chance to rebuild them a whole lot either. But if you're going to be looking at the sun, here's another little bonus factoid. The moment when totality begins, when the sun's light is almost completely blocking up the sun, all that's left is a small little receding points of light around the irregular shapes of the moon's disk. Those are known as Bailey's beads. That's actually the surface of the moon, the small craters, the peaks, the valleys, all those just peeking along. So what you're staring at is the very much the horizon of the moon, the very edge of the moon from the sun. So be safe out there. Thanks for following along. If you guys want to message me, find me on all my social medias at Magnus Apollo. I'll be back to my regular scheduled programs once the celestial events have ended and life can get back to normal. I have some great guests lined up. Find me at Magnus Apollo on socials. Message me on the Factoid hotline. And if you see me, like me, rate me, put me 5 stars on wherever you can find. It helps get the show out there. And thanks so much, folks. Enjoy the eclipse.
Welcome to Behind the Studio Door, where we dig into the vibrant creative landscape of Rochester, New York. Hi, I'm Molly Darling, and along with my co-host Christian Rivera and our fabulous producer Chris Lindstrom, it's my pleasure to guide you through the dynamic world of our local creative professionals. Each episode offers a unique glimpse into the studios of those who enrich our Rochester community with their artistic vision. Join us as we explore the diversity and talent in Rochester, revealing the compelling narratives and creative journeys that exist just beyond the studio door.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.